Welcome. I'm Larry Olson. And what's on your mind? Once set, it delivers your life. To change the outcomes we want, we must change the plays we're running. Join us at Mindset Playbook with real people, real talk, for real insight. Well, I'm very excited today about our podcast because we've got someone here that's not only a dear friend of mine, but pretty famous, if you will. Dr. Ginger Price is not only an artist, but she took that art and brought it to cosmetic dentistry. And I didn't really know how good she was other than all the compliments I got about my own teeth until I talked to other dentists. And when they asked, you know, who's your dentist? And I said, Dr. Ginger Price. And they go, oh. And I didn't quite understand what that meant. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? And they go, oh, she's the best. And there's no greater compliment to get from anyone than a peer, you know, because generally they kind of keep themselves in their own profession and want to see themselves as being very good. And I'm sure they are, and they're right. But this woman was the top in the whole state of Arizona, and I'm sure in the top 10 in the country, which is kudos to Dr. Ginger Price. She practiced dentistry for over 35 years, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, and then we're going to get into what she's up to now, because I think all of you out there, any of you who are actually flossing your teeth or brushing them, which I think brings us all into the category outside of the flossing thing, it took her team to get me to realize that, as we've all heard, I only needed to floss the teeth I wanted to keep. So with that, I'm very excited to have her, and she's been very, very, very wonderful to give us her time today, which she doesn't have. So, Dr. Ginger Price, welcome to the Mindset Playbook podcast.
Well, thank you, Larry.
You're welcome.
What a nice intro. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Well, it's very justifiable. It's easy to go there. There's so many more things I could talk about, but I thought we'd probably cover those in our opportunity today.
Absolutely.
So, Dr. Price, first question I want to ask you is, why dentistry?
Great question, because okay. It is kind of a funny story.
Okay.
I, in high school, found clay and sculpture.
Oh,
and
okay.
I thought...
What do you mean you found it?
I took a class.
Oh,
our little
class.
High school had a small studio throwing pots, and I was just in heaven.
Oh, all right.
I decided I was going to become an art major.
Okay.
Or go to college for art.
Okay.
So my dad, who was an MD, GP, you know, good old-fashioned family doc.
Okay.
He was just a very kind person, but he kept saying, all right, when are you going to get a real major? I mean, I think he was worried I was going to be on the dole forever. So I was a junior in college.
Okay.
He was getting his teeth straightened, and he said, look, why don't you go to dental school? I mean, you like working with your hands. I think you can do the school, and it'll be a lot better career path. So I took his advice and started taking all the sciences.
Well, that's unusual to begin with, that... A kid would take advice from their parents. You must have had a great relationship with him.
I did. He was really a great mentor, and I had a great trust with him, respected his ideas.
Okay.
And he was never hit me over the head with it. He would just drop it in,
gotcha.
You know, in such a way that it wasn't offensive.
Could become your idea.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's how it happened.
For heaven's sake.
Yeah.
For heaven's sake.
And of course, when I graduated, you know, there wasn't cosmetic dentistry per se.
Okay.
But I absolutely loved it. And then as cosmetics came in, of course, if you have the eye for proportion and aesthetics, it really helps.
Wow.
Yeah.
A nice blend then.
Yeah. So, and I like people. I like helping people.
Yep.
And I found it fascinating. My favorite appointment really was a new patient.
Was
like,
it? Yeah.
Who is this person? What makes them tick? Why are they here?
Okay.
What do they want? You know.
Yeah, I just have always been so impressed with your bedside manner, if you will.
Thank you.
Because I think with a lot of us, the confidence that the person that's working with us has, you know, kind of rubs off onto us, and it creates trust much faster.
It's all about confidence, absolutely.
Isn't it?
Yes.
You know, I mean, you go to the doctor who's only lost 4 out of the last 6 patients. You're a little reluctant to want to take that on.
True.
But you had a great reputation, and actually, you and I met, I think it was at a get-together at one of the neighbors' houses.
We met
houses.
On your driveway when you and your son were unloading boxes
at
the house.
Okay.
And I said, hey, we've got this neighborhood thing. And
okay,
that's how it
started.
Happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you remember what year that was?
I want to say it was easily 15 years ago.
It's been a while.
Maybe
Absolutely.
A bit longer.
Yeah,
because it's right when you guys lived into your house.
Yeah, just got back in Arizona.
Yeah.
And I remember, too, that we started talking, and you asked me what I was doing, and you became very interested in it.
Yes.
And we developed a partnership where we assisted one another. And what type of take did you get on the education when we first got started together?
Well, right away, because I'm a CE junkie for sure.
Okay.
Love learning, reading, just being exposed to new ways of doing things.
Okay.
And then team training. If your team doesn't know what you're up to, it's much harder to get things done.
Yeah. That's...
So your approach, not just training the executive, but training the whole team, really appealed to me.
Okay.
And then your podcast is so appropriately named because your whole focus is mindset.
Gotcha.
That's the core of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was drawn in right away when you described your process and involving the whole team.
Yeah.
And was very curious. So it wasn't too long after that, you know, we did one of your, I believe it was a 2-day session with
right.
the whole team.
Yeah, the life program.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
So.
Remember it well. I think we were at a hotel.
Yes.
Right?
We were.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. That was fun. That was fun. And it was interesting because it was one of the smaller groups that I had done, but that had been made it even more difficult than large groups.
Oh.
Because there's nowhere to hide.
True.
You've got everyone, you know, right in it and in your face and, you know, expecting. And I think it brought out the best in me. It really challenged me to be even better and step it up a little bit.
Sure.
So I thank you for that.
And no place for them to hide either.
No, there wasn't. That's right. No snoozing in that one.
That's right.
So you practiced for 35 years.
Yes.
Okay. And did you start to lose kind of the pop and the excitement that you had when you first started into it? Or what kind of transpired for you to say enough's enough? I mean, I think anybody who's listening would go, for crying out loud, she did it for 35 years, you know, give her a break. But help us share with us where the transition went, because you didn't stop.
Sure. Well, I made a decision that I wanted to have a less stressful everyday life.
Okay.
You know, because, I mean, we ran a big operation. You're there every morning at 6:30 and there till 5:30. And, you know, dentistry is physically demanding. I'm not whining, but it just is. You're in a little pretzel position for hours.
Yeah.
And, but along with that, I decided that I wanted a bigger and better future. I didn't want to just sell and just, you know.
Yeah.
How many days a week can you play golf? Seriously.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
So,
yep.
So I had that concept in my head.
Okay.
I want this.
Okay.
I have to change my routine, what I'm doing here.
Okay.
But what's next?
Okay, okay.
And
when a lot of people think about making a transition in their lives, and even though sometimes they don't like what they're doing, they'll still do it because they don't like having to go into the unknown.
Oh,
sure. At least I know this.
Sure.
Do you like it? No. Well, then why don't you do something else? Well, I've done it so long. or I've been with that person so long,
sure,
or whatever the scenario may be. And did you feel a little bit, you know, before I ask you that question, you said that there was a lot of stress involved, because having been in your business and experienced what your group goes through, there's a lot of moving parts.
Oh, yeah.
And there's so much psychology that comes into play, because your patients are like a box of chocolates, aren't they? I mean, you know, you have one expectation and something else comes out, and that can really keep you on your toes all day long.
Oh, yeah.
And people don't realize how much tension that creates.
Yeah, you're on stage.
Yes.
Not just for the customers, but as the leader, you have to set the pace and the tone every day when you walk in that door.
Absolutely.
You have to be up.
Yeah.
Or no one can be more excited than the boss. It's not really possible.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah. Absolutely. So, absolutely.
So, yeah.
And you talk about stage. You know, those of you that are listening out here, have you ever paid for a ticket to go and experience an event? Right? And if you pay a lot of money for the event, and a lot of money, I don't know, some concert tickets, you know, can get into the thousands, but, you know, for most people, $200, $300, $400 is expensive to put out and go get entertained. And you were in the $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 ticket. So that even puts more pressure.
Oh, yeah.
Right? At least in what the expectation is from the patient.
True.
This is going to be perfect.
True.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And then day after day after day after day. When did it get to a point where you were starting to really feel it, the pressure?
Well, it was, you know, it's kind of interesting, because my dad passed in 2015.
Okay.
And it was a couple months after that it really made me reexamine, why am I doing this?
Okay.
And what's next? And,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, is this what I truly want to keep doing?
Wow. Yeah.
Because I could be doing it right now, you know?
Exactly. So, absolutely.
But, so I started to have, you know, the thought of selling the business, and that takes some time, but also, I started to think, because, you know, I think a lot of times when people do goal setting, they think about dollars. Okay. My goal is, you know, I'm going to make, you know, let's just say $100,000 a year.
Okay.
It's an easy number.
Sure. Yeah.
And then it's all about the number.
Okay.
But, I started thinking about, like, what kind of life experience do I want to have? What do I want my everyday life to be like? It's this now. What does the new one look like?
Okay.
You know?
Okay. Yeah.
So I started thinking more in those terms, you know?
Okay.
And
give me an example.
Well,
what's it look like?
I wanted to not have such a structured every day.
Okay. All right.
You know, I mean, I get up early anyway, but to have to be somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Okay. Right.
Tanned, rested, and ready at 6:30 every morning. I mean, you know.
Sure.
And then I knew I wanted to travel more. I wanted to be a more interesting person.
Huh.
So, and what I mean by that is, I read the Wall Street most days, and every Friday they've got, Mark Myers has that column called House Calls. Do you read it?
No, I don't.
So he interviews an interesting person. Could be an author, could be an actress, could be a music performer.
All right.
How they grew up, what kind of house they grew up, and where they live now. So I thought, I'm going to be interviewed. I'm going to be so interesting that he's going to want to interview me.
Fantastic.
You know?
What a great vision.
So you see, that puts it away from a small ball thing about money.
Right. Yeah.
Because, you know, at a certain point, I mean, I have a nice house. I don't need a bigger house. I don't need a different car. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want my life to be more free and interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yep.
Well, along with that, so my patients started bringing me the idea.
Okay.
People would come in and say,
before you go any further with that, if we get into how the mind operates, okay?
Yeah.
What she did is she opened what's called the reticular activating system.
Ooh.
And that
I didn't even see that.
Right? And that means that as I've shared with some of you before, if I ask you to look for red, you see red. And there's 7 million other colors that you missed. But red stands out. And why weren't you looking for it before? And you go, oh, well, you didn't bring it up.
Right.
So every thought we have becomes our color. And that's all the brain will find, because the brain's processing over 30 trillion bits of information a second anyway, and it'd go mad if it had to pay attention to all that there. So there has to be a filter.
Sure.
So when Ginger said, I want something interesting, what did she just open herself up to? Prior to that, she wasn't really open to those kind of conversations or hearing that information, even though it could have been shared. But now that she's open to it, which takes us now to where I interrupted you.
Yeah, no, I was just on the little gerbil mill. This is what you're doing, and keep doing it. Try to do it a little better, and yeah. Oh, you know.
Right, and this faster. Is what you need to do. Don't think about what's happening to you. That's just part of it, right?
Exactly.
And then you kind of put the brakes on, and mm-hmm. And you had a significant event with the passing of your father.
Yep.
Which I think it's all of us, any time in our lives something dramatic takes place, we start thinking about our own life and what we're doing and coming at any age. And you started thinking you wanted it to be more interesting from the Wall Street Journal, the Myers gentleman that you were listening to,
sure.
Right? Which I've got to hear now. That sounds like a very interesting thing, because you get to see all the different avenues that people take.
Absolutely.
The playbook, if you will. And so you decided to be interesting. Now, all of a sudden, you know, you're hearing things from your patients, all right, or whatever. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you just were sharing how you started to pick up information.
Yes.
Okay.
And this just occurred to me just now.
Okay.
This has probably been happening a long time.
Okay.
Because people, you know, we always sold a couple of products. Toothpaste, rinse, different things, whitening gel. But I was never really in love with any of them.
Gotcha.
But people would come in and go, well, what do you got has no fluoride?
Okay.
And coupled with this phenomena called the oil pulling, which has actually been around 1,000 years, but it became very popular around 2015-ish, you know?
Did you say oil pulling?
Oil pulling. It's a practice where you just scoop a spoonful of regular, just plain old coconut oil out of the jar and swish with it. You know, it becomes liquid for 15 minutes, and it pulls or removes bacteria from the mouth.
For heaven's sakes.
And it's purported to have not only good results with your oral condition, but overall physical health.
I'll be darned. All right.
So people would
come in.
Boy, they've
kept that the best kept secret in town.
Well,
or at least to people naive like myself.
Now wherever you go, people will be telling you the royal pulling,
right? I know. I'll hear it this afternoon. That's the reticular gang.
So anyway,
you heard that.
Yeah, they'd come in and say, well, you know, I've been doing this oil pulling. What do you think, doc? And and your science brain goes, oh, that's probably a load of crap. You know, it's just right. How we're trained.
Sure.
But when I looked into it, there's actually some science behind it. There's quite a few studies that it does drop bacteria.
Okay. Wow.
And so that got me thinking. And then I was at a lunch with some friends, and these two gals were both doing the oil pulling, and, hey, what do you think? You know, and I thought to myself, well, and I told him, I said, I don't know much about it. Then I realized this is how people are. They're going to do this whether I think it's any good or any other scientist thinks it's any good or not.
Okay.
It's become a thing.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
So a couple weeks later, I was reading the Wall Street. I read it in the morning when I'm getting ready.
Okay.
And another columnist that did a travel thing. And they, you know, they did a knoll. They always do a knoll picture.
Okay.
You know what the knolling is, where they lay things out.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, this person travels a lot and gives you their 10 tips or whatever. These are the items that are in my bag.
I gotcha.
And
oh, okay.
And of course, you know, I need to be interviewed by that person too. Right. I mean, this sounds goofy to say it out loud, but this is...
No, but yeah.
At that moment, this thing hit me. I mean, between the eyes, like, you're doing this. There needs to be a product.
Okay.
It was just so impactful at that moment.
Wow. That's great.
And I looked out into the marketplace. You know, I'm going to sound bad, but a lot of the natural products out there, they don't taste good. In fact, that's one of our bylines. Natural doesn't have to taste bad.
Gotcha.
They put things, you know, like tea tree oil that I don't even like in my shampoo, you know.
Gotcha, yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of how it got started.
Well, you know, the CBD oil?
Yes.
There is there's a retail store in Arizona that has the rack of shame. Where they have 150 CBD oil products that have not passed any tests whatsoever, they don't sanction. So all they do is they sell the stuff that's been researched and actually will assist you.
Okay.
And in you know, no one never really knows, is this a placebo effect that I believe the CBD is in any product.
Right.
If I believe it works, it must work. Or, you know, let's get the facts and the science into it.
Sure.
Like you're talking about.
Sure.
And that organics don't have to taste bad. So are you saying then that you did something about this?
Well, yes. And there's another thing that I learned later, and I really believe this. You know Elizabeth Gilbert that wrote Eat, Pray, Love?
Okay.
So a lesser-known book that she wrote is called Big Magic.
Okay.
Fantastic book.
Huh.
And she talks about in there that ideas... they live in the air.
Okay.
And
nice.
Like an idea is there and it might occur to a lot of people, but then of course you have to act on it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
So it's like an idea whose time has come.
There you
know?
Go. Yep.
So yeah.
And you were ready for it.
And it fit with my bigger picture. Because, you know, a product company is something that, of course, you work on it and you're busy, but not in the same way. It's on your own time.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you're helping people, but you're not interfacing with them in such an intense way in
gotcha.
A time, you know.
Yep.
Like, you're now 10 minutes behind. Oh, my God. Yeah. And
Mrs. Johnson is irritated.
Oh.
You have
and
her in 10 minutes.
You're making money while you sleep. You know, I mean, you know.
Yep. Right.
So a lot of it just all started coming together.
Right.
So, then once I, and I talked to my attorney friend who's a patent attorney. He goes, well, you need a formula. Because in the beginning, you know, I'm going to the store and buying stuff
different
and thinking stuff. I can make toothpaste. Oh, no, it's not like that. So,
and why reinvent the wheel, right?
Yeah.
You know, maybe there's people out there that could
you need a
here.
Scientist.
Yeah.
So I've found this gentleman. His name is Dr. Martin Ginniger.
Now, that was about 4 years ago, wasn't it? Or was it longer
this
than
was
that?
This was in 2015.
15, okay.
Or 16.
16.
No, 15. 15. This all happened in 2015.
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I found Dr. Martin Ginniger.
Okay.
His name is one letter off from mine. Think about that.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. That's amazing.
He's a PhD chemist and a dentist, and this is all he does is formulas and inventing, and he has a lot of his own products and patents. Whitening is... He did the formulation for Zoom. He doesn't own the formula, but...
I got you.
So
okay.
You know.
Yeah.
Real pro. And,
all right.
You know, it's one of those things I called him. He had paperwork for me to sign. You know, you do the NDA, and then, boy, I had a formula and a sample
NDA,
1 week
is that
later.
Non-disclosure?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Formula. I had samples 1 week later, and I mean, it just
away you
started
go.
To happen. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Now you were fortunate enough too, I believe, to have a son that was not only fortunate to have a son, but who, the trade that he was in and the artistic ability he had as well. So didn't you utilize him in some of your product design and whatnot? Or
yes, so he right away loved the idea, and he goes, oh, I want to be the design manager. And he was a junior at ASU.
Okay.
And I said, oh, I don't know. Do you have time? You know.
Right.
And he was like, oh, no, I'm all in. Senior year is the easiest year. I'll make time for it. So that has been super fun to work with him.
I'll bet.
And if you read our copy, I mean, he talks about me locking myself in the lab with a bag of coconuts. And I mean, the whole brand, we try to have fun.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's a good product, but, you know, it's so, so yeah, he's done all, you know, the logo design, all the packaging. And so, yeah.
Now, Ginger, you've got a lot of people out there, according to Gallup and the recent poll they did on 1,500,000 associates throughout the world, found that 80% of them don't like what they're doing.
Oh, that's so sad.
It is. It is. And I think it leads to a lot of pressure and tension within the organization. It's hard on leaders to lead people that don't want to be there. It's hard on people who have leaders that don't want to be there. And in that whole process, what can take place is you start to get caught up in, well, what else can I do? You know, what else
True.
Can I do?
True.
Okay. And you had the opportunity through your father and you had resources being as successful as you were. And you also had your son who was also very creative and everything else. To really have the opportunity to fulfill your dream. So here you are, you're finding all this information coming out of the air. As you said, the idea is just, which I totally understand from the podcast perspective. When we decided that maybe we should do podcasting, know nothing about it, right?
Right.
And when you start getting into the information, it's rather overwhelming. You know, you need this, you need that, make sure this, make sure that. So if you don't have the vision, then that can stop you, shoot you in your tracks.
Absolutely.
Oh, you need a patent. I don't need a patent. You know, I don't, you know, or you got to have, oh, I can't get a .com. Those names are all taken up. They're so hard to get. So you don't even find out that Mindset Playbook was available, for crying out loud. Okay. Because I'm sure somebody's got that. and that's what people do. That's why they get stuck. And you have something going on that's kind of a secret sauce. And that's what I'm trying to get a handle on here, because there's something that goes on in your mind where you don't go there. You follow me? What do you think that is?
Well, I have a little plaque in my office that says, he who has no problems to solve is out of the game.
Ah, so beautiful.
I mean, I relish a problem because it's forward motion. So
okay, yep.
I'll give you a great example. Our first packaging, you know, we did clinical trials. The product, both products, they kill bacteria, you
okay,
know. Yep. Well, when we went to try to get into Expo West, the biggest natural show in the world over in Anaheim,
okay,
you send photos of the packaging, and they just said no. So I think a lot of people would have said, oh, okay, what next? Well, of course, I call the woman and I go, can you tell me why? And she goes, well, the packaging states something. You cannot change the state of something or you're in the drug category.
Hmm.
So you're a cosmetic.
You mean chemically changing the state of something?
Killing bacteria is changing the state of the body. See,
oh, okay.
So you can say, like a friend of mine said, can't you just say anger's bacteria? So, yeah. You know, we're undaunted. So
okay.
we redo the design.
All right.
We reprinted toothpaste boxes. That's easy.
Sure.
I mean, cost something.
Right.
And made stickers to go on the mouthwash that went over the kills and had to redo our
what'd you end up
whole
saying?
Thing. It just says supports gum health.
I gotcha. Okay.
You know, yeah. Softer languaging.
Sure.
And we got in.
Wow.
So.
To that particular show.
Yes.
Didn't have to wait a year.
Well, then another thing happened that time. They go, well, this is great, but we don't have a spot right now.
Okay.
So a friend of mine who's done shows for jewelry, she goes, oh, that they always do that because a lot of people apply and they're not serious. So she said, you just got to call the guy every other day. So I started that. I'd email him and call him. And by the second week, he was like, oh, a spot has opened up. So
great.
You know, you have to be ready because all kinds of roadblocks are going to come up.
Okay.
But it's just all a learning
curve. So without the problem, you're not in the game.
Absolutely.
And so people should expect the problem.
Absolutely.
But what should their attitude be about the problem? Because a lot of people, the problem becomes the problem, and they focus on the problem, and it only gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And I always think of it this way. Whenever you focus on the problem, you take an eraser and slightly erase part of the vision. You focus more on the problem, you erase. Pretty soon you can't see the vision anymore. You're just staring at what?
Well, there, you know, there's another thing that I believe in very strongly, and probably may sound a little wonky, but I try, there's a flow that happens, you know. I try to stay tapped into the flow.
Okay.
And so
there's a flow that happens.
Uh-huh. A flow of information, people.
Okay.
And if you stay really... If you stay connected to that and just focused on your bigger vision that you're going for.
Okay.
It takes these things kind of take care of themselves. You still have to work on it.
Sure, sure.
But I'll give you a good example. So you know, everything that's going on in the world today, we were trying to get one of those PPP loans.
Gotcha.
Who named that? I do not know, but that's another matter.
Yeah.
So, of course, I'm with a big bank, and, you know, you realize when you're filling the thing out, you're tweeting into the void. You know, nothing's, you know, you just get that
crickets.
Feeling.
Yeah.
So I'm out with the dog hiking, and it's a trail that I have hiked with this group of friends, but I haven't really hiked with them in over a year.
Okay.
Well, they happen to be on the trail, and one of the gals works for a big company in town, and we got to talking, and she goes, oh, have I got the banker for you, small bank in Scottsdale. The guy actually talks to you on the phone, I go home, I call him, we're approved, we have the money by the next week.
Wow.
So that's the flow.
Yeah, that's
so
the flow.
Your idea
that's
is...
That's the flow. And Ginger, one of the things that is important to talk about now is a lot of us say, I wish I could be in the flow. A lot of people, and this is hard for you to understand because of how you think, and that's the difference. It's not that you have any more talent than anybody else. You chose to use your talent. You chose not to be set back. You chose to look at problems as keeping you in the game. I mean, you had this whole litany of triggers that were most people, when they get set back, they're set back.
True.
I mean, they've even in the dictionary, Webster defines resiliency as the ability to bounce back after being bent, restructured. And that's ridiculous. If you bounce back, you're at the same spot you were when the problem occurred. In a program that I teach, it's about bouncing forward, because what'd you learn from that? Now let's move forward with it.
Ah.
And that's what I hear you saying, and I want the people out there to recognize one of the habits that people can get into is, well, I can see where she would be successful, but you don't know what my life looks like. So somehow you've had a perfect life. Right? And I know you would probably not agree with that. Fair enough?
Right.
You've had your challenges. You've had your setbacks. And I've gone through some of them with you professionally.
Correct.
And yet you just needed sometimes an opportunity to rethink something. And
that's
see
it.
The own trap that you put yourself in, that there was an opportunity to get out of it. There was a, and folks, I'm not saying if you don't like your job, quit your job. I'm not talking about that at all. What I'm talking about is stop talking about you don't like your job, because now you can't see what you do like about it. You can't see that woman that brings a coffee in every day with a smile on her face.
Yeah.
You can't experience all these nice little gifts that are going on around you. And that's where most of us live, is inside our head. And then we create this world, and then without knowing it, we manifest it. And all you're saying is, if we're going to do that anyway, let's make it interesting. Let's make it fun, right? And that's what
Absolutely.
Your product's all about. You know, it just shows fun.
Absolutely.
And so let's talk a little bit about...
Well, and one more thing
go
about
ahead.
That.
You bet.
So to get and stay in the flow, I heard this on a Tim Ferriss show, a guy named Josh Waitzkin. He's some kind of chess master,
okay.
Super interesting guy. But he talked about, this is one of the things where you drive over and stop because you got to write this thing
okay,
down from
right.
the podcast. The importance of adding fun and enthusiasm and delight in everything you do.
Wow.
And connecting with anybody that you encounter and making it, like just making their day just a little bit better.
Wow.
Because you can't tap into the flow if you're not contributing to it.
Okay.
Like the other day I'm at the bank, you know, those poor little bank tellers, what a dreary job. This little gal has a music clef necklace.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, I like your necklace. Oh, yeah, I'm a music major, but oh, I'm trying to graduate. And, you know,
yeah,
it's never about her at the bank, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what she was going to say. But
sure.
You just make that person, make their day a little happier,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then sometimes... Everything doesn't always go smoothly. You know, we had a agreement to with a company to get some venture capital. This was almost 2 years ago, and everything looked great. And, you know, there's stacks and stacks of legal work and blah, blah, blah. We come down to the dinner to celebrate with these people and our team. And the woman who was the owner gave a little speech with me, oh, rah, rah. The very next day, she called me and pulled the plug on it.
Oh, wow.
But you know what?
What?
Thank the good Lord.
Okay.
It would have been like the battle of the goddesses. I mean, she even said that,
okay.
You know. She needed a project, and she didn't realize, oh, Ginger doesn't need that kind of help.
I got you.
So then, rather than, again, feeling like, oh, like, okay, well, what's next?
Yeah.
The universe
yeah.
protected us because we did everything we could.
Beautiful.
I mean, we had everybody signed the paperwork and blah, blah, blah. So you
know,
have to be flexible.
What I wanted to share is your philosophy, Ginger, is similar to a guy named W. Clement Stone, who is the accused of being an inverse paranoid. And people know what a paranoid is. The world's out to do me badly.
Right.
Right? And so why are you here? His attitude was that the universe is conspiring to do me good. And first thing he'd say in the morning when he'd wake up is something wonderful is going to happen today.
Oh, I love that.
So what's he looking for all day long? So he'd say, you know, he met you and the three of us are in this room together, right? And then when something go bad... And just reminds me of you so much from the podcast we've just had. He goes, what am I to learn from this?
There you
Instead
go.
Instead of, oh, there goes the wonderful. I gave it a shot. God, those things they teach you never seem to work out. And people don't recognize that what we're talking about here is you don't try to believe the universe is conspiring to do you good. You choose to believe it. Because once you've made the belief that your life will be interesting, mm-hmm. the world opened up, everything you needed flowed right to you to get you what you wanted, and also protected you from not going in avenues that you didn't need to go. And you knew that, whether you knew that on purpose or you knew that because that's who you are, we can all learn that ourselves. And you have been delightful. This has gone by. I thought he was going to say 15 minutes. but I would like to be able to do another podcast down the road if you're open to it.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I think we're just scratching the surface here. by the way, those of you that are interested, it'll show up on the podcast. But Dr. Ginger Price and her new company, Dr. Ginger's Healthcare Products. And you can go online, and I absolutely encourage you to do that. She has a wonderful toothpaste. Problem is, you enjoy it so much, you brush your teeth too long. So, and it actually works. We can't say it kills bacteria, but it does. But what we can say is that it creates great dental health. And you'll even enjoy it while you're using it. So, Dr. Price, thank you so much for your time today. And is there anything else you'd like to share before we wrap it up?
No, this has been great, Larry. Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you, too. And thank you for bringing those great, great insights to us. I think we've all learned a lot from this.
You're welcome.
I look forward to our next adventure.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. Next week's guest, David Newcomb, comes from an illustrious career in London and around the world. His stories as a producer of award-winning shows is not only fascinating to hear, but the basis from which he draws upon in co-creating his new and highly successful company, Launch Realty. David's life work is founded on a no-fear attitude, grounded by his openness to life's offerings and an insatiable curiosity to learn and continually developing himself and those around him. Join us for our next podcast and open up to what's possible in your world.